A few weeks ago, on Mother's Day, I brought a message that was an attempt to encourage our mothers in several different areas. First of all, I wanted to encourage our moms to celebrate being a woman. That was a reason to celebrate. I wanted to encourage the women to understand that they are valuable, that they are people of worth, and I wanted to encourage the moms to protect their hearts. And that was an important part of their lives. And that message is available online. If you missed it, you want to go back and hear it, it is there. But this morning, I wanted to speak to the fathers and to the men. And oddly enough, the first word of encouragement that I have for the fathers is similar to the point that I had made for the mothers, except that it's for men. And that is that, men, you should celebrate being a man. Now you say, well, Norman, that should be pretty obvious, but it's not so obvious these days. I go back to the same point I made about the women, that in the beginning, God, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, created us male and female. Two distinct genders. The distinctiveness of the genders is something that is being blurred in today's society. Actually, it's being more than blurred. It's under attack, I believe. I believe the whole idea that God created mankind, male and female, is being attacked. And there is so much confusion out there. It is increasingly difficult for a boy growing up to even know what it means to be a man in today's society. Now, you don't have to go out and be able to swing a hammer to be a man. You don't have to be able to go and shoot a moose or fight off bears with your bare hands, like, was that Davy Crockett or was that the other? Daniel Boone, there you go. You know, you don't have to do that to be a man. And yes, you could even be emotional and even tender, as you should be. And you can be a man. In the end, being a man isn't based on your likes and dislikes. It's based on how God made you. It's not a matter of how you feel. It's not a matter of what you identify with. You are either male or female, regardless of the stereotypes that people place upon us. When I was in school, I willingly chose and took a class on home economics, cooking and sewing. I don't know if they even teach that stuff anymore in school as far as a class is concerned. They don't. Yeah, that was offered when I was in high school. I forget, maybe grade 10 or something. I took that. I enjoyed especially the cooking part. You know, I did make myself a stuffed lion in the sewing class and maybe a t-shirt, but that was fine. But I really enjoyed the cooking and got into that. That didn't make me less of a man. It's just something I was interested in and I enjoyed and I took it. I even took typing. And when I was in high school, very few guys took typing because, you know, guys just didn't do that. And I was one of the first ones. I reaped a lot of benefits from that. You know, when computers came out about 4 years later, I was just a flying typing away. And most of the other guys there were hunting and pecking, you know, ding, ding, ding. And yeah, some of you guys are still there, right? Mm-hmm. Being a man isn't about your likes or dislikes. It's not about your skills or even your interests, your abilities. It's about how God made you. It's about what God put in within you and the place he has brought you to. And another thing that makes it difficult for a man to celebrate being a man is the negative portrayal we see on the media. If you watch television, then you've most likely witnessed this portrayal of the modern-day man, husband, father, as being lazy, incompetent, and or even stupid. One report had the headline, "Why do advertisers portray men as idiots?" Interesting. It's not even a question that they do. It's like, why do they do that? Another report stated, Hollywood depicts men as ridiculous and as people who should not be taken seriously. The characterizations of men in the media over the past two decades portray men as weak and incompetent. I've been told that a good example of this, one reviewer put it this way, talked about a program on ABC Network called Man Up. Never heard of it. I read about it. It said it portrays men as infantile, incapable, uncultured, weak, pathetic, and flat-out moronic. Would you want your boys to watch that? You know, that kind of stuff? Like, that's what's being portrayed on media about men. And in face of this kind of media backlash or portrayal and the general blurring of genders to start with, it's difficult for a boy growing up to be a man. You're almost made to feel like you need to apologize for it. And that's awful. That's not the way it should be. You should celebrate being a man. Now, that doesn't mean that you look down on women. Men, real men, would never look down on women. You hear about the battle of the sexes. To me, that's a ridiculous notion. Why? Why would a man put down a woman? Why would a woman put down a man? We need each other. We're in this together. We need men to be men. We need women to be women. We need women to celebrate being women. We need men to celebrate being men. Each one is special. Each one is needed. And if you're a man, celebrate that. I think if more of us did this, our children would be happy to be who they are as God created them instead of trying to be something else. So my first point for the men on Father's Day is much like the women on Mother's Day. Celebrate who God made you, a distinct human being, and cherish that. Nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be looked down upon. It's a good thing. God created man in his own image, and it was good, very good, in fact. But part of being a man, and this is really the second point and the part that I really want to focus on for most of the message this morning, and that is that as the man, you are called to be the leader. Many people love the idea of being a leader. When we were kids, we used to play the game, follow the leader, right? And every kid wanted to be the leader. Because if you were the leader, you got to be in charge. You got to decide who's going to do what, where you're going to go, how you're going to do it. Everybody else had to follow you. And it was kind of nice to be the leader. Everybody's following me. And for some people, you know, when they hear the word leader, it implies control and power and authority. And they're thinking, oh, if I'm the leader, I'm the one in charge. I'm the one who gets to say how it's done, when it's done, where we're going to go. I'm the king of the castle. Almost like a dictator, right? And if you're the king of the castle, that means that would imply that everyone else in the castle is a servant. And for some people, when they hear the term, you know, you're the leader, they think of it, well, then, you know, I'm the servant. And it's funny how really, when we look at it biblically, and we're going to do that in just a moment, we have things backwards. According to God's word, the leader isn't the king of the castle who sits down and puts his feet up and gives all the orders. According to God's word, the leader, which you men are called to be, is the servant. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28. Take a look at that with me. It'll be up on our wall. It's Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Men, you want to be a leader. You are called to be a leader. That means you are called to serve. You are called to put yourself behind others. You are called to be there for someone else. You want to be a leader? We need to follow God's example. We need to be a leader the way Christ was a leader. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." It talks in the same passage about women submitting to their husbands. You know, we get all tied up in knots over that. And we don't need to be. The whole idea of the relationship is one of submission. Wives need to submit to their husbands, and husbands, they need to put their wives first. They need to think of themselves, not of themselves, but of their wives. They need to look at their role as one of a servant. As Christ loved the church, Scripture makes it very clear that's how husbands are to love their wives. And what did that mean? It means he gave himself up for her. Being a leader isn't to sit back, relax, have everything handed to you while you tell everybody what they must do. And nobody would enjoy that, or being in a position of submission to that. The role of the leader is to set the direction by being the first to set the example of sacrifice. You need to set that example to sacrifice. So when I say to the men that you need to be the leader in your home, I'm not giving you license to sit back and order people around. You, get me my slippers. You, bring me another beer. You, wait till I finish watching my television program before you can watch something else. That's not leadership. Leadership is not taking advantage of others or even taking advantage of the place that you've been put. Leadership is putting your family before yourself, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. We are all supposed to do that, but as men, we need to take the initiative in that. We need to take the first step in that. We need to set the example of humility. We need to set the example of sacrifice. We need to set the example of putting somebody else before ourselves. That's what it means to be a real leader. Men, we are called to be leaders, not dictators. And as godly men, you are called to be a real servant leader as Christ was. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, I want to make some suggestions this morning briefly. Number one, you are called to give direction to your family. That's part of the reason, that's part of the meaning of what it means to be a leader, to give some direction. Now, you do this in cooperation with the people in your life. You don't do it arbitrarily. You do it by thinking about the needs of others. And so if you are married and or you have children, if you are the leader, you're thinking, what direction can I give this home that is a benefit to my wife and children? It doesn't mean what direction do I give this home that is a benefit to me so I can do what I want when I want. We are called to give direction, but it has to be in an attitude of what is best for the people around us. But we need to give that direction. Sometimes it comes down to some hard decisions. We need to give that direction. We need to be there. We need to do that. Secondly, we are to be a real leader as Christ was means that we are called to protect our loved ones. We're called to protect our family. You provide security, physical emotional, even relational security to your home. That is your job. That is your place. That doesn't mean that the wife has nothing to do with that. Of course not. But you need to set the example, the priority in that. I recently posted an article online that talked about six people that husbands need to make sure are not prioritized over their wife. Just a little reminder there for the husbands. Make sure these people do not come as a priority above your husband, above your wife. And the six people are, number one, children. Children are great, but they don't take priority over your spouse. Imaginary women. You don't want to start fantasizing. Or another woman, whether it's at work or in some organization that you are involved in. Your mom. Your mom doesn't come before your spouse. Your friends, or even virtual friends, online friends. These people do not come. They cannot be prioritized over your wife, your spouse. And that's good advice. I agree with that. One friend of mine replied to that post I put up. He gave his own little testimony. He said, "I got real mad at my dad once for telling my wife to shut up. No one tells my wife to shut up, not even me. And I thought to myself, there's a man who is out protecting his wife." That's what it means. Be out on the lookout. Protection for your family. That's what it means to be a leader. And thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, save the best for last. You know, we always do that. You are called to give spiritual leadership in your home. You, the man, the father, the husband, it is your place, your duty, your responsibility, your role to set the spiritual bar high. And sadly, this is often neglected. Fathers, it is your role to lead your family in the faith as a godly example of a follower of Christ. You are the leader in this. You can't say, "Oh, my wife will take care of that." I hope you have a godly wife. That's great. You should have a godly wife. But it's your place. You set the bar. You set the standard. You take the leadership in this. What does it mean? It means that you need to make sure you take time for yourself to read the Bible, to pray, to grow spiritually. It means that if you have a family, it means you need to take the initiative to get up early enough on a Sunday, for an example, and make sure there's no obstacles preventing the family from coming to church. It means you need to take the initiative and the responsibility to talk to your children about their spiritual development. It means you need to take the leadership in your family in devotions and prayer. And for those of you who are not married, it means that you, single men, need to take the leadership in setting and maintaining a high standard of conduct in your relationship. I know that the typical stereotype is that men have the reputation of wanting to, you know, lower standards and get away with something, and women are trying to maintain the high standards, and godly men will be working at raising the standards of conduct. You are the one who will say, "No, we can't go there We can't go there, or we can't do that. That's what it means to be a leader. Now, I understand that some men want to be the leader, the spiritual leader, but they don't know how. Maybe they never had a good example to follow. And if that's the case with you, and I know there are men who are in that position, I understand that it won't be easy. Maybe you didn't have a father growing up at all. Or maybe your father was nothing of a spiritual leader. Maybe you feel inadequate because, well, you don't know the Bible all that well. You don't have any training. All I can say is that the instructions are pretty clear and basic. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 27, it was referenced last week in the message that Pastor Megan brought. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is a good place to start. If we can do that, we're on the right track. We're doing very well. By the way, that reference from Matthew chapter 22 is actually a repeat or a referral back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. But then it goes on in verse 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. This is talking to the fathers. They're the ones who needed to heed this. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the instruction. We don't know how. Well, it tells us there how. Just do it. First thing we need to do is we need to make sure we have the love of God in our own heart. That's why it says there, first thing, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. I once read a saying, it said, you can't give what you don't have any more than you can come back from where you haven't been. You can't do it. And so the scripture says, you have to have it on your own heart. Invest in your own spiritual growth and closeness to God, and then impress them on your children. And you know, the word impress is a very strong and powerful word. You know, when you think about, you know, impressing an image from one to another, there's some, you know, force there. It's not always easy. It's not even always comfortable. Impress them on your children. Talk about it. When? Basically always. When you sit down, when you get up, when you lie down, when you're on the road, whether you're coming or going or here or there, make it a part of your life. Spiritual leadership is not about a five-minute schedule in your day. It is your day. It is your life. And men, we need to be the men that God created us to be. We need to take on that role as servant leaders. We need to very humbly take on the roles that God has given, not with an attitude of superiority or looking down, but with an attitude of love and of leadership as Christ showed to the church. These are not easy roles. They're not. Sometimes we will get it wrong. Sometimes we will fail in one aspect or another. We need God's help in being the men that God called us to be. And women, if you are married, I would just say you need to entrust your husband with this role. Give him the chance. Will he always get it right? No, he won't. But he needs to know that you are there with him and supporting him. And one last thing I just want to add is, if your children are grown up, don't forget that you still have an influence in their lives. Maybe not in the same way as when they were young, but you are still an influence in their lives. Our best role model in all of this, of course, is our Heavenly Father. His love, His grace, His guidance is what we need. And the truth of the matter is, above anything else, what we need is we need a relationship with our Heavenly Father if we're going to be any kind of father at all. We need to have that strong. We need to develop that. We need to grow that. And I want to encourage you, first and foremost, if there's anyone here this morning who is not in a right relationship with the Heavenly Father, that is what we need to deal with. That's what you need to deal with. But then as we grow in that, as we give our life to the Lord, as we develop in that way, God can help us to be the men, the fathers, the husbands that God calls us to be. It's a tough challenge. It's tougher today, I think, than it used to be. But it's something that we need to do. We have no choice. We need to do it by the grace of God and with the presence and help of God. And we can do that as we pray. Let's do that. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and Father God, I just want to recognize just how important it is to have the role of a father in our lives. And I also understand that sometimes earthly fathers have failed, and sometimes they failed miserably. Sometimes they were non-existent. And Father God, I just pray that in these difficult situations, Lord God, that your grace would go forward and bring comfort for those for whom Father's Day is a challenge. And I pray, Father God, for all of us, that we may be able to look to you as our Heavenly Father, a God who loves us, who knows us, who cares deeply about us. And I pray, Father God, that you'd help us as earthly fathers to fulfill the roles and the responsibilities that you've given to us, Lord God, to do it in a way that brings honor and glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.